It's Adrian Bowe and Troy Malcolm coming to you with the importance of buyer work and how that's going to be critical in this episode of 159, Troy. You can see the significance of buyer work leading into the current auctions that we're handling.
Absolutely. And hey, listeners, it's so good to catch up. Episode number 159, Bowie. If the listeners could see you now, you are in probably the sharpest suit I reckon I've ever seen you in. So thank you, mate, for raising the standards, even though we're only going in audio. So, yeah, Adrian, listen, this is an interesting one. Buy work right now in the market, in the level of activity that we're currently seeing from different places within our businesses, respectfully, and our coaching clients. Buy work, I think, is going to be paramount to the success of any sales agent in the next 6 months. Why I say that is the work that you do with those buyers and really building that trust and rapport, similar factors to what we were talking about last week, the positive outcomes. I really think it's an important part because the closer you are to those buyers, they make up 50% of the equation. So it's an important stage in the cycle of real estate. We're seeing a lot more market appraisals start to come through. I think that'll lead to a lot of activity in early spring. And Adrian, I know that your coaching clients have said something similar.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely some upwards trajectory in the amount of appraisals, in the amount of selling inquiry, in the amount of listing appointments. And, you know, it's spring predominantly, which could bring that on. But we have also, and it's been very well publicized, noticed that a lot of investors are offloading investment property, not so much being distressed because of interest rates, but more just a debt reduction exercise and then maybe consolidating with their own home. And it makes sense because we are at the upper end of the pricing cycle. So if anyone has been remotely thinking about selling their investment property, now is a great time. I mean, there's technically a housing shortage, not just in Sydney, but nationally, right? So creating more stock through those homes and apartments that have been quarantined for renters only, I think can only help the supply issue that we've been experiencing, Troy.
Yeah, and I think, Adrian, you know, when we break down what are some of the activities that we do on a daily basis with those buyers, whether they've inspected the property, whether they've said they're a neighbour, whether they've said they're actually a hot buyer and they've missed out on multiple ones, I think that that would be a great session to cover off today. Mm. And I know in our notes previous, we started saying, well, if you mastered, and I think it was Vern Harnish that said that, what are the 25 key relationships that if you mastered, you would master the market? And I think that that really works with this side of it. And if you substitute key relationships with key buyers, what are the 25 key buyers right now that are really hot that if you master the opportunity with them, you would actually master the market and you create those clients for life and not just go into that selling mode. You would actually build those amazing relationships with your customers, both buyers and sellers, that you would become the talent attraction agent in any market within Australia.
Absolutely. And we've seen the burgeoning industry of buyer's agents within the real estate industry itself. And I think that has really been created from that vacuum of probably a lack of servicing of buyers from real estate agents. And I've even noticed over the last month, Troy, quite a few listing selling real estate agents actually transferring into buyer's agents. You know, I can think of three on the top of my head that I just actually noticed on LinkedIn this week. And it doesn't surprise me. It means there is a void in servicing buyers. I think that real estate agents, though, can still play a huge role in servicing buyers very, very well. Not all buyers have the resources to be able to appoint a buyer's agent because it is very similar to commissions of selling a property. So it can be quite expensive. And I think, you know, if you look at the opportunities real estate agents have to service buyers, it's not really that complicated, Troy. You've got your campaign buyers. So on all the campaigns that you're currently running, you've got ample email inquiry, ample phone inquiry, and ample open for inspection inquiry. It's just a matter of qualifying those people, providing outstanding service to them, and then curating a list on each campaign to ensure that you're adding value and providing vendor-like service to them. And then you've got your hot buyer list, which could be, you know, anywhere between 5 to 25 of people that you're constantly in contact with twice weekly, I think is best practice, and ensuring that anything that's coming available either through you, your colleague, or your competitors. You're making them aware of it, and even going and bidding at auctions, going to inspect the property on their behalf, and providing really good feedback to them, and also your objective opinion, and the sort of referrals that creates, Troy, as we've seen in our own businesses and with our own coaching clients, is significant.
Yeah, and it's one that comes up quite a lot, Adrian, the hot buyer list. And I had a young agent that's recently joined our brand, and they're going to be a superstar in the future, probably in the next 3 to 5 years. And we were talking about the hot buyer list and how you attract those hot buyers and how you make sure you work with them and speak to them, you know, minimum 2 times per week. And his question was simple, but it really kind of made me stop and think. He's like, well, what clarifies a hot buyer? Are they just someone that's really excited about the property, or are they someone that makes an offer on the spot? And so what I did, knowing that we were doing this session, I actually made a list of what are some of the trigger events that make a hot buyer a hot buyer. And you know, if you have a client that performs any one of the ones and the tasks that we're going to mention in the next couple of minutes, it's probably a good indication that they are active in the market and you should really be working closely with them and really up the ante because they're ready to buy. So the first one, and obviously the most obvious one, Adrian, is you know, they've booked a private appointment at the property. It's very rare that you get an interested party that's not genuinely really keen on the property not book a private appointment. Most of the time, if they're just walking past or they're a neighbor, they normally go to open for an inspection. The second one that you always made mention was after the open for inspection, the follow-up activity that you do with that buyer, if they request a second appointment or an appointment that's private or turn up to multiple open for inspections with family members, that's normally a pretty good indication that they are ready to, you know, they're moving on that property. Then we go through the normal ones, Adrian, and I know that this has kind of been the way that most buyers have always tried to keep their touch within the market, is making sure that they request a contract. If they've made amendments to the contract, if they've purchased the pest and building report. And then we go into some of the more clear dialogue. And AB, I remember a long time ago, you sat down with myself and I think a couple of the McGrath team back in the day, and you said, you know, you need to have this within your dialogue with every person you're speaking to that has one of these trigger events. And it's almost like you're getting a sense of how engaged they are with the market they're searching. So one of the key points that you always mentioned was discussing other properties that are on the market right now. And I think this is a great leeway of going, well, are you searching in a location or are you searching for a house or an apartment in just specific criteria? Have they made another offer on a property and missed out? Have they bid at auction in the past and missed out? And at what level did they go to? Another obvious one that most people and most real estate agents generally ask in their buy and callbacks, if you were to be in a position to buy this house, are your finances in place and ready to go? Have they indicated or offered a price already? Is it in line with the guide? Is it below the guide? Are they a bargain hunter, or are they willing to pay a premium to secure the property before auction, if it is an auction campaign? Do they need to buy within a certain date or time frame? And have they sold something recently, or they still need to do that process, or are they looking to buy before they purchase? And I think, Adrian, you know, you rattle off those key points, and I know there's probably another 50 or 60 that we could say are indicators, but for our listeners and our followers, it kind of is a really important event. If they trigger one of those activities with you, they're probably leaning into becoming a genuine buyer or a hot buyer, and go into your hot buyer list. As you said, 5 to 25. I like the idea of 25. I think that once you have that great range of buyers in the market that are hot, that's definitely going to lean into a lot more opportunities to do deals, especially with off-market campaigns that have become the norm in most countries in metropolitan Sydney.
Yeah, I agree, Troy. And I'm glad you mentioned private buyer appointments, because a great hack that's working well with my coaching clients at the moment is if they are booking in a private inspection, I'm asking them to actually go online on REA and Domain and actually creating a 15-minute open house and actually putting the signboard and the flag out the front. Because the chance is, if you're going to be there anyway, it's likely that you might attract another 2 or 3 buyers. It could be neighbours. It could be lead generation in terms of, you know, interacting with the community. But why not? If you're there, you're taking the effort to actually present the home. The owners also made some effort in getting the property ready. I think it's a great opportunity, and it's working really well with the clients that I'm actually working with at the moment on a coaching level. The other thing is, you know, role playing around callbacks. I did some some work with that this week with some agents, and I was amazed that one was a developing agent, one was a growth agent, but neither actually asked the question around where are you up to in the finance journey, you know, because we know that finance can be a little bit more challenging than in previous years, and we know that there are some obstacles that you need to overcome from looking through a property and saying, wow, I love this, to actually getting to a point of signing an unconditional contract. So there are three or four obstacles you need to overcome, whether it's submitting more documents, whether it's getting a valuation, or it might be just part of your normal due diligence around pest building or strata. So actually asking that direct question and empathizing with them, try and saying, look, I understand that it is a process. It'd be interesting for me to be able to help you and also report accurately to my seller. Do you mind if I ask exactly where you're at in that journey, in the event we do come to an agreement on price, just so I know, will you be in a position to actually exchange unconditionally at or before auction in that situation? So I think overqualifying that, and I think in markets past, Troy, if someone just took a contract or came through three times, we would automatically report to the owner that they're a buyer that will be attending the auction. I don't think we can get away with that anymore. There needs to be some unpacking of not just their finance journey, but other metrics like you've just talked about, whether it's second, third inspection, whether it's changes to the contract, whether it's pest building inspection, and also just having potentially even a face-to-face meeting with that buyer straight after the open house and talking them through what the auction day is going to look like, or if it is a private treaty situation, where your owner's at and what you can do to actually help them secure the property as well.
Yeah, such an important part of the real estate process, and complacency does come into it quite a bit, Adrian. For anyone that's listening to this and they have realized they've had that aha moment that they haven't been working with their buyers as closely as possible, what do they do right now to get them back on track?
I do feel that if it's campaign buyers, then creating a short list and just speaking to them once a week and just saying to them that, oh, are you still coming to the auction or are you still interested in a property, that's just not going to do it. I think what needs to happen is a short list of campaign buyers need to be spoken to probably every other day, so probably three times a week, I think, as a minimum. And it's not just to ask, are you still interested? It's to say, look, Troy, you know, you're one of four buyers that have expressed interest in the property. One of them is an investor. Another one is moving from Melbourne. Another buyer has made changes to the contract and asked for a longer settlement. I just would love to understand, in order for me to help you, you know, I notice you've only been once and have actually taken a contract, but for me to report accurately to the vendor, is there anything else you need to do to put yourself in a position to purchase this property in an unconditional format? So I think digging deeper and even potentially saying to them, Troy, is there an opportunity after the open house this Thursday, if you're coming through, that we can grab a cup of coffee or just have a chat outside the property, just so I can talk you through where I think the owner's at, where I think you'll need to be at, and just so I can get a better understanding of what resonates with you with the property, what are the challenges, and if I can overcome any of those challenges by talking you through what the owner's advised me on based on their experience living here for the last 15 or 20 years. So I think that's critical. And in terms of, you know, your hot buyer list, what they can do to get back on track is really commit to them as a buyer's agent with zero expectation of remuneration, submit competitors' properties, source off-market properties for them by direct door knocking, not just generic door knocking, but direct door knocking, and suggesting that there is a family that's very interested in buying in this street because of the school zones, and they are not bargain hunters. They're not opportunistic. They understand they need to pay market value. I'd love an opportunity to be able to bring them through. So if you display an evidence of effort and deliver off-market listings to your hot buyers, I think you're going to gain some terrific credibility there, Troy.
Absolutely. All right, listeners, that is episode number 159. Adrian, as always, thank you so much for being and taking time to be part of this podcast. We hope that it's continuing to deliver insights and knowledge and some of the experiences that we've seen around the grounds, but also what we've experienced on our combined kind of 60, 65 years worth of real estate knowledge. AB, as always, I will speak to you multiple times during the rest of the day. For everyone that's got campaigns running at the moment, good luck out there. It is a great time to really build better relationships and deeper relationships and really hit the ground running. We're a new financial year. We're 14 days into the financial year, and this is the year that we will see the cream of the crop rise to the top. That sounds like a rap song, AB. I think it is. Stole that line from somewhere.
You're a poet and you don't even know it.
Exactly. I do believe this year we will see some amazing results from our team members and our followers. So keep sending your questions through. We'll keep answering them. Make sure you rate us 5 stars on all the platforms. We're both on Spotify and iTunes and all the other platforms that you get your podcasts right now in Australia. So thanks again, AB. And until next week, listeners, we will see you soon.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks, listeners.